As a marketing leader, we know your time is valuable, which is why we're thrilled you're spending it with us to get all the insights and advice you need from CMO Convo. Self-reflection can be a powerful tool both personally and professionally, especially when you're a leader. We're back with Stacey Danheiser, CMO and founder of Shake Marketing, to share how you can run a self-assessment of your CMO role and what it and your team contribute to your organization. Tune in and find out how and why great marketing leaders need to look within. Hi, Stacey. Welcome to CMO Convo. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited to have you back on the show, Stacey. Your episode last time, it proved to be incredibly popular. In fact, it was our top of our Spotify Wrapped for 2022. So very excited to have you back on the show.
Yes. Well, thank you. And I was excited to hear that. I shared with you that my teenagers, you know, would not believe that somehow my name made it onto somebody else's Spotify Wrapped. So it was a highlight for sure of the year.
You can win all these marketing accolades, but at the end of the day, what do teenagers care about? Spotify Wrapped.
Exactly.
So Stacey, we're going to be talking about a great topic today. We're going to be talking about doing a self-assessment as a CMO, really taking a look at your role and function within the business. But before we get into that, maybe you could sort of reintroduce yourselves to the audience, tell us a bit about yourself and what you've been doing for the past year since we last spoke to you.
Yes. So I'm Stacey Danheiser. I am the founder and CMO of Shake Marketing Group, which is a B2B marketing consultancy. We primarily focus on marketing strategy, helping with voice of customer research, and really aligning marketing and sales teams to be thoughtful about how they're showing up and communicating customer value in the market. I'm also the host of SOAR Marketing Society and the creator of a brand new group coaching and training program aimed at aspiring B2B marketing leaders called the Confident Marketer Playbook. And that's really what I've been doing over the past year is figuring out how can I help more B2B marketers, because I keep hearing the same things over and over, which is, you know, I feel like I'm an order taker. My team doesn't have the value internally or the respect. We're not really invited to strategic conversations, or we don't really have a seat at the table. So all of that, I've worked with CEOs and chief revenue officers and COOs to bridge the gap really between what's happening with marketing and what the C-suite wants. And so I've turned all of that into a mentorship program to help marketing teams really elevate their impact.
Great stuff. So sounds like you are perfectly positioned to talk about this topic today. Let's start at the top and let's talk about, what do we mean by a self-assessment for CMOs? Like, what does that mean? What is the goal of it at the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's always a good practice. Let's think of New Year's resolutions as an example, where we want to create new goals and get excited about what we're working on. But step one of that process is usually a reflection, right? And how well things went in the past, what worked, what didn't, what would we change, what would we improve? And that's really the benefit of doing the self-assessment for the marketing team, not only just for the CMO position, but also for the whole marketing team, is to figure out, you know, a reality check, really. And are we doing all of the right things that we should be to help us get to, you know, what our end state and our goal state is? And so it's giving a path forward of, we are here and we want to be, you know, higher up the mountain, and how do we get there? And this is really identifying specific steps to get somebody there.
And then, is this something that CMOs should be doing on like a regular basis, or is it like New Year's resolutions? It's something to take a look at in January when people are feeling the January blues and need to reassess things.
Yeah, well, I mean, a couple of things. One, at least once a year, right, would be a good starting point. But also on top of that would be anytime there's a major change. And so, you know, my background, I worked at 5 different Fortune 500 companies. I went through so many company acquisitions. Every single one of those company acquisitions or mergers was an opportunity to reevaluate where you're at, because all of a sudden you have new goals, you have new leadership, you may have a new set of mandates. And that's really the opportunity to figure out, okay, are we properly prepared, or do we have gaps to help us achieve those goals? And what should we be focused on? So you can't really run the same playbook when there's so much change happening. And I think, you know, whether that's you getting a new job or you getting a new boss or a new leadership team, those are always kind of opportunities to go reevaluate where you're at.
And it's not just about looking internally within the marketing team as well. It's looking at the place, at its function and its place within the business and how it relates to other departments. How
Absolutely.
Important is that input from the other stakeholders? Like, it's not just going to be you running an audit. You're going to need to speak to other parts of the business, surely.
Yeah. So when I've actually created a scorecard called the Confident Marketer Scorecard. And there's really four key areas that we look at. So I'll start there and kind of explain the four, and then we'll talk about how that fits into stakeholders. So the first is really about mindset and competency. And so do you have, you know, not only for yourself, but on your team, the right marketing mindset and the right skills and competencies needed? So often what I found is that there is a gap with people that are on the team. And this really helps to say, okay, it's not just a skills gap in terms of, you know, technical skills, but also key competencies, like, do we have somebody that's focused on strategy, that can really understand the market, that really understands customers and competitors and where we fit and how we're positioned in the market? So that's kind of the first piece is really like mindset and competencies. The second area is around planning. And this is, you know, what foundational work is the marketing team doing before they start executing? So a lot of times, you know, companies are so excited to get marketing leaders in place and a marketing team in place that everybody starts just executing right away. And what I have found, because again, I'm typically called in by a CEO or a chief revenue officer who is questioning what the marketing team is working on because they're frustrated, there's a disconnect and they're not really sure why. And I always find that it comes back to this planning piece and that there's foundational steps that were skipped, such as customer segmentation, positioning, value propositions, targeting. Do we have the right ideal customer profile? Is marketing and sales working on the same things? Do we have very clearly aligned marketing goals that tie back to the business? And then finally, do we have an execution plan in place that is setting ourselves up for success? And, you know, just what's interesting is I've been doing some of this research again with the scorecard, and not every, so there's two pieces I found interesting. One is there was a question on there that, you know, the team has a documented marketing plan. And typically I find 50% of the people say, yes, we have a documented marketing plan. And the other 50% fall into the, well, somewhat or not at all bucket. So that's one question. And then there's another question that says, we have enough resources on our team to execute this plan. And 99% of marketers say, no, we don't have enough resources to execute the plan. But what's interesting there is, well, who's creating the plan? So one of the elements of planning is, do we have the resources to execute? Or are we just putting a wish list of things together and then we're not thinking about execution? And all of a sudden, you know, our budget gets pulled or our people get pulled. And the expectation is that we're still going to be doing all of these things in our wish list, but we don't have the resources to execute. So there's a misalignment there in terms of the planning piece. And then the third bucket is execution. So looking at, you know, is the team focused on the right set of activities and priorities to drive business growth? And this talks about, you know, this goes into a little more about marketing and sales alignment and the goals aspect and just kind of aligning everything from an execution standpoint. And then leadership is the fourth bucket. And this is, you know, strong leadership skills that help inspire, set a vision for what marketing looks like in the organization and inspire the C-suite and your peers around you to what that vision looks like. And so, you know, there's kind of two parts, I think, to doing the assessment. So part one is you do it for yourself, right? And you go through all four of these areas. The other one that's an interesting exercise then is to share this with your stakeholders and your peers and to see what, you know, have them evaluate you and your marketing team so that you can now get two sides of the same picture. Because there are, you know, if you've ever done any self-assessments, we tend to overestimate our competencies and our abilities. And so And this is true. You know, I've been running these assessments for companies, and I found that the marketing team will rate themselves very high, 95%, you know, 95 out of 100. And then go ask the C-suite to do it, and they'll be like 65% out of 100. And so there's some real misalignment. And maybe it's true what the marketing team is doing. It's just the leadership aspect, it has not been communicated back to the stakeholders. And so therefore, they have the impression and the perception that marketing is not working on the right things. So it's really kind of this loop, this closed loop. And I think it's just a great practice to see, you know, does your perception of yourself match up with the reality of how other people see you?
And what happens if the perceptions are wildly off? Like, what is that, panic stations? Do things need to be rectified pretty rapidly? Or is it more of a, okay, we're at this stage, let's see what we can do about this?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the benefit of going through the assessment or having a third party help you go through the assessment, because what you end up with is actually a roadmap and a prioritization to say, okay, we are off on these certain things. Let's start tackling these and let's figure out what the most important things are. So as an example, there was an assessment that I ran for a company, and one of the marketing team rated themselves very highly on, we know exactly who our ideal customer target is. We have a specific list of customer targets, you know, we have profiles, et cetera. The view from the leadership team was that, yes, marketing has a document full of personas, but there are 30 plus personas in this document. And marketing is working on this one thing, and sales has a completely other, separate, different list of target accounts that they're going after. And so while marketing is thinking, yeah, we got this, we have, you know, 30 documented ideal customer profiles, the sales team is like, I don't know why they need that many. We're certainly not working on that, and we're not using those. You know, we have four types that we're going after, or three. And so there's just a misalignment there. So that could be an, you know, easy fix to say, wow, why do we have 30 and the sales team has three? Let's narrow this down and let's make sure that we're working on the right things. So a lot of these ahas, I would say these gaps, can be workshopped. And some of them are easier fixes than others. A lot of it, frankly, boils down to a lack of communication between departments. And rather than like a glaring gap, hey, we've never thought about this thing, we've never done it, or we've never attempted it, it's usually some type of miscommunication happening between departments, is what I found.
So when it comes to that kind of miscommunication, what are the steps? Is it clearer visibility of data? Is it workshopping? Or is it a bit more of like a cultural change, even like within the company, to sort of like get more of a shared ownership of projects?
Yeah. I think it's a really good question, and it depends, is the answer. What I have found that it's a lot of differing personalities and also differing perceptions about what the role of marketing is. And, you know, when I work with marketing teams, I kind of always like to start there, which is, what does the team perceive the role of marketing to be? And this is a really great thing that, you know, anybody can do, just even in an anonymous survey, if you don't feel comfortable having these face-to-face conversations, is to say, describe to me what you think marketing should be doing and how marketing can help you. And it's critical to kind of listen to the language that the team is using when they reflect back on what their view of marketing is. And sometimes, I mean, I worked in financial services industry. The view of marketing there was definitely related to collateral, because marketing is responsible for sending mandatory quarterly updates to all investors and to all advisors and kind of anybody who's investing in the portfolio. And so the view internally was that that's kind of the number one job of marketing is collateral. If I need collateral or if I need something sent out, that's the marketing department. So that's kind of one example. The other, I worked in a telecom organization where we did a lot of events and a lot of things were happening kind of one-on-one sponsorships and that kind of thing. So the viewpoint from the sales organization of marketing there was, marketing does events. If we need a sponsorship or an event, we call marketing. So it's just a good place to start to see, like, how does the business view the marketing organization and what steps can you take to start to change some of those perceptions? And lately, when I've been asking CEOs or CROs this, there's a lot that comes up about we expect marketing to be the experts in what our customers value and what they need and to help us grow the business because they're so tightly aligned with customer understanding that they can break through the clutter and help us, you know, get into meetings, close deals, sell faster. And, you know, so some of that, yes, ends up becoming a workshop, or it ends up becoming, wow, we have a skills gap on the team because nobody's really a customer expert, or, you know, there's different outcomes potentially as to how you might solve some of those issues.
Sure. I imagine it'll be very different from circumstance to circumstance, as the nature of businesses, they can be quite different, they can look quite different, and they can be function quite differently. So moving on from that, you mentioned CMO, marketing teams and CMOs can often overestimate their abilities. Are there certain ways of approaching this exercise that you would advise so that CMOs can remain objective and they're not like just digging themselves up needlessly? I mean, marketers at the end of the day, they like to market and they like to market themselves. So how do you stop yourself from doing that?
Yeah, no, I think that's why it's a good practice, right? To get other people to weigh in on it. I think, you know, the other thing probably to be aware of when going through the exercise is recency bias. So you may have just come off of a really great year or ran a really great campaign or, you know, had a really great meeting with your stakeholders. And so then you go fill out the assessment and that's kind of what's top of mind is, you know, 100% all the way down. We're on fire. So I think it's just becoming mindful, right? And being really honest with yourself that, you know, do we really have this and has everybody bought into it? And, or is this something that, yes, I've done, but I've never shared it with anybody. So it's sitting on my computer and, you know, while yet I can say and feel confident that I've done something, maybe nobody knows about it, right? So it's being really mindful, I guess, of how you're and honest about how you're answering these things and not overthinking it, right? And especially if you're knowing that you're doing it for yourself and for self reflection and self-improvement, that when nobody's going to be reading it or looking at it besides you, it's not being shared, you know, without your knowledge to your stakeholders or your boss, then I think that people can be a little bit more honest with how they're answering these things and really, you know, looking at the team and saying, yes, is our team actually really doing these things? Because the purpose to me, you know, just a little background, I have worked for and seen several chief marketing officers and, you know, heads of marketing work themselves out of a job because they became so blindsided about what was happening around them. And they didn't do this piece, which I always, you know, think is an extremely critical part of the chief marketing officer role, which is, you know, internal stakeholder management. And part of that is, yes, we do assessments of our team. Yes, I'm not blindsided by gaps. I know we have gaps on our team. You know, yes, here's the action plan that I'm putting in place. The worst case scenario is that you're not doing any of this work and that all of a sudden you're just completely blindsided by, you know, somebody that's brought in to help marketing succeed. And meanwhile, you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, we've been doing all of that, but you know, you're not doing a great part of sort of that internal stakeholder management side. So this is just, you know, a way to get out in front of it, right? And for you to feel control and ownership of working on your improvement plan and the improvement plan of the team, because really it's up to marketing to kind of set the vision for the organization and what they want to achieve within the department and identifying the steps to get there. And this is just one tool to sort of help identify real gaps and ways to do that.
So you mentioned improvement there as being a big part of it, but I imagine, especially with everything that's going on with the economy and with marketing budgets at the moment for many companies, I imagine this could quite easily turn into quite a negative exercise where it turns into, oh, we've got so much dead wood that needs to be cut. How do you keep positive when you're self-assessing? I mean, obviously, there might be some times when you do see issues and things that do need to be cut out, like your processes, your marketing tech stack, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, you are a leader and you are there to support your team as well. So how can you keep yourself thinking about this as a positive process, especially in light of everything that's going on with the economy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my mindset around this kind of stuff is that you own your own growth and nobody can take that away from you. And so this is a way for you to get, you know, what's 1% better every single day. And we're going to focus on how we can get better. And I don't, you know, when I look at stuff like this, and I'm kind of like an admittedly like self-assessment junkie. I take all of the, any quiz or any tool, if anybody has one, please send it to me. I'm happy to test it out or do it because I love this kind of stuff. And for me, when I get the results, I'm like, okay, yeah, I could see that this is true. Right. And, you know, some of this stuff is completely objective where it's, do you have this thing documented or not? It's a yes or a no, right? It's not meant to kind of beat you up, but it's saying, yeah, this is what successful people do. They do these following things. And if you want to be in that bucket and you want to, you know, get sort of out of the somebody else taking control over what you're focusing on, then these are the things that you should be working on. So it's just, I think it's a way to own your growth and your leadership, right? And to make your team feel empowered that they have control over some of these things. And I will say, and this is sort of just, I'm going to show you the other side of it. When I talk to CEOs and chief revenue officers who are non-marketers, by the way, they're always, you know, coming from either an engineering background or a finance background, typically, or something a little bit more technical, they love this kind of stuff and they want marketing to own it, right? Nobody wants to, they don't have time to come up with the whole game plan and roadmap and playbook for the marketing organization. They want the head of marketing to come to them and say, here's the vision, here's where we're at today, here's where we want to be, here's the six steps that I've identified that are the biggest gaps that are going to help us move from here to there. And that is a very, that's like an ownership mentality, right? Because now you're responsible for you and your team's development and growth and kind of pushing things that way. And a lot of this, you know, people, going back to your point about budgets or focus or any of that, a lot of these things are non-budget. It's not like, hey, we have to go send everybody to a training class. That might be the case in some instances, but a lot of these things have to do with, you know, internal workshops and just playing, elevating to the seat that marketing should be, which is, you know, the orchestrator of everything. And so when you think of yourself as the orchestrator and trying to make things happen, you know, what are ways that you can do that? And not everything requires a budget. It's really just more maybe playing a different role, putting yourself in the shoes of the orchestrator and kind of taking a different viewpoint of it.
Definitely, Stacey. And I think thinking about the role along those lines as well, like it makes you think about marketing in a more strategic way, in a more business strategic way as well, because you're thinking about like, how is marketing going to improve all these different departments rather than just improving the marketing goals? You're thinking more about the business goals as a whole. And I suppose as well, when it comes to communicating the steps that you need to take in order to meet those goals, when you're talking to the CEO or the CRO, it's got to be very important to think about what are the terms that they are looking for, what is the language that they're looking for. And I think that's often one of the big issues that we find in the CMO role, is that when the CMOs, marketers, they're not very good at explaining marketing stuff to non-marketers. So taking this kind of self-assessment role, thinking very hard about how things relate to the different departments, can be very effective in communicating what marketing needs from the rest of the business as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, how I would view this exercise is really an opportunity to build relationships across the C-suite. Because if you go to your head of finance and say, hey, I want you to honestly assess me and our team and kind of the information that you're getting from us, I think that that's a great tool to use to start building that relationship and to say that, yes, I'm open to your feedback and I want your feedback and I want to help improve this working relationship. And so I think that's a really great point, that that you can use something like this to start, you know, getting a stronger relationship internally.
Definitely, definitely. So, Stacey, you covered sort of like the four main buckets earlier. Can we go into a bit more detail on sort of like what is required of each of those steps and why they're so important?
Yes. So, let's see here. I was just going to see if I could give you some specific stats that I have found. You know, one that I love: marketing is viewed as a trusted advisor by our stakeholders. That's one of the questions that's on here. And this is kind of under that leadership bucket. 67% of people said, no, they're definitely not viewed as that. And so let's just, you know, that's where I kind of go back to that. The thing that I hear over and over is, I feel, you know, me or my team feel like they're order takers for the sales team. We're not invited to strategic conversations or meetings. You know, people don't understand the value of marketing or the ROI or the impact that we're making. And so, you know, I guess for me, the goal would be, I want to start changing that. I don't want our team to be seen as order takers. I wanted them to be seen as strategic, you know, partners and advisors to the business. And so this, you know, okay, great. Well, how do we start getting there? And so, you know, again, these kind of four key areas that I talked about with regard to the mindset and competencies, a lot of it starts there, right? And it's like, how does the team view themselves and their role within the organization? And it all kind of spills out from there. So one of the key mindsets of a great marketer is being customer focused. And this is a complaint that I'm hearing a lot about lately from the C-suite, where they say, I don't really think marketing understands our customer. To my knowledge, I don't know that they've interviewed them or have ever talked to them. They certainly haven't really been traveling with the sales team on customer meetings or calls. And so there's a gap already right off the bat, right? Is our team customer focused? Well, how can they be customer focused if they're sitting behind a computer screen all day, you know, trying to assume what the customer wants because they're reading review sites or scouring social media trying to see, you know, what people are thinking? You know, that's kind of one lens, I guess, to look through it, but there's a whole bunch more that goes into really becoming a customer expert, which is, by the way, what the C-suite wants. They want marketing to sit at the table and to be the expert in what's happening with the customer. Right now, because marketing's not doing that, they're relying on the sales team to do that. But the sales team, keep in mind, is looking at a very short-term view of the customer. Here's what's going on with the customer and how it impacts me to my ability to close business this month versus long-term, here's what our customers need. Here's how certain technologies or the economic situation may be impacting their business, right? And so that's a big area, I think, for marketing to start with, is to look at that.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, we're always told to put customer first, but how often are CMOs actually speaking to their customers? How often are marketers actually speaking to the customers directly? It can be such a powerful tool, taking that approach, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, Stacey, it sounds like this is a very, very important thing for CMOs to be doing. Do you have any advice, any final advice in terms of like how to approach this in terms of like your mindset, how to remain open to this kind of process? Like, how should CMOs be thinking about this in a positive way?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who is in a CMO role has made it because they're demonstrating leadership skill, right? And so one of the great, I guess, skills of a leader is to be open and to be honest, right? Open and honest to improvement and to self-development and getting everybody kind of motivated and inspired to follow your vision and take the next step. So, you know, I would say, put your leadership hat on, and that this is a really great opportunity to model that behavior that you want to see in your team, that you want everybody to own their own development. And by the way, this is what people want, right? This is what your employees want. They want opportunities to grow in their role or to enhance their skills. And this is just kind of step one to say, rather than, I think the approach that some companies have taken is, hey, we assume that you know where your gaps are. Go find a class or go find a training, you know, on your own and then come back and I'll see if we approve it. This is a little bit more structured approach to that, where you are looking at it more holistically as a team to say there are specific strengths on the team and specific, you know, areas of development on the team. And let's let people who are already demonstrating strength continue to develop those. While if we have weaknesses and nobody likes to do certain things, like a big one is always around evaluation, right? Evaluating marketing activity, putting together ROI models, you know, communicating this back to finance. And it's really somebody that has almost straddles between sort of a finance brain and the marketing brain. And if that's a real gap, that might be an opportunity. That means where you need to hire somebody that's very specifically oriented toward that skill, or, you know, find a training opportunity for somebody on the team. Maybe they're, you know, two steps there, but they need to go all the way to five steps. And so helping them, this is kind of just an opportunity, I think, to help identify those really specific opportunities for development in a way that's going to benefit not only the individual on your team, but also the whole collective marketing team.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Stacey, for joining us today. I've really enjoyed this this discussion. It sounds like it's going to be a very useful exercise for many of our audience moving forward. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Yes, thank you. And I will share a link to the scorecard, I think, or you can Google it. It's Confident Marketer Scorecard. And there's we have a team version and then an individual version so that you can kind of play around with both and assess not only yourself, but also look at the collective team.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Stacey. And thank you very much to our audience as well. I'm sure you found this conversation very, very useful and very, very enlightening. We'll be back soon with some more CMO combos.
Like what you heard from this CMO combo? Make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave a rating so the whole world knows how great it was.